this morning. Psalm 31 to 5. Please join with me in your church. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I call on you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from falling down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
Good to have everybody here today. Good to see you. We're going to hear from Trey Robinson and Patty Griffiths, who are back from Tanzania, Africa, and they brought with them Lawrence's niece, and her name is, I'm not sure how to say it. It's like Godly, I think. So she is here, but she's leaving on Friday, so she won't be here long. So we're glad to have you here. Lawrence has been here at one time, maybe a couple of times over the years. So it's kind of a sad thing that Patty and Griffith, that she came back from Tanzania on Thursday, I mean, she's got jet lag. No, she's crabby. Jeff won't tell us about that. But we had a memorial service for her brother yesterday, Ralph. And so, I mean, she comes back to, kind of the highs and the lows, and it's together with family and friends that came here yesterday. So, but we're glad you're back as well. The Lord be with you and comfort you today and every day, you and your family, Patty. I'd also like to just remind you that the ladies' luncheon, I had heard that you're going to meet at One-on-One. Mm-hmm. It's a Chinese restaurant. I heard it's only takeout only. But then somebody checked on it, they know you're coming, and you can go inside. So even if you haven't signed up, and you can sign up on the fridge in the kitchen if you have not, and no one's going to turn you away if you decide at the last minute, say, like, I'd like to go to be a part of that lunch and get to meet some of the ladies at Harbor of Joy. I would just encourage you to do that as well. Dave Reef is our blessing box man. He comes over faithfully every day of the week and checks out the little food pantry box on the side of the church, and he makes sure it's always something in there, and it's used a lot. So Dave, tell us more about what's going on with the food box, I should say the blessing box.
I thought it would stand, maybe I'd be a little louder. I don't have a mic on, can you all hear me?
What did you say?
Well, we've been going through a lot, and it's emptied almost every day. Cars are pulling constantly. I know Charlie's talked to some folks, I've talked to some folks, and there's just a huge need with the gas prices going up, the cost of food being transported, everything's just costing more for folks. I talked to this lady named Gloria recently, and she said that food stamps have been cut back, and without this, I wouldn't have enough food to eat. And I didn't know that, like I said, Charlie's had some folks too said the same thing. So there's definitely a need. Our pantry closet over here, it's empty. So we are definitely in need of more food. I'm going to start exploring some other areas. Fairway's been really good about giving. I'm going to go to Fairway now in Estherville this week and Spencer and see if I can get any of their expired goods, because the state of Iowa allows you to give out expired goods a year after the expiration date. And Fairway would just throw away any expires in the past. So they've been one of our better givers of some of the stores. So I'm going to explore and get new foods that way. But any of you want to contribute, sure help. You can just drop it off Monday through Friday here. Charlie Brown, you here in the morning, and I'll put it away, whether it be in the pantry or the storage area or in the blessing box. In your bulletin, there's listed in there, it's all what you need. Mac and cheese has been big. Peanut butter, stay away from the Jiffy. They just had a recall for salmonella. Skippy Boys, Ritz crackers. As far as meat in cans is a huge thing. We're constantly going through meats in a can. And the biggest one that's going more than anything is chicken in a can. So if you can pick up chicken in a can, they're at the store. Spaghetti's good, pasta, fruit and cans, potato chips, rice. Those are just some of the few things that we definitely need. So whatever you can do to drop off would be appreciated. Usually in the mornings work out best from like 8 to 11. And that's pretty much anything that I have right now. So thanks again for listening.
Oh, thank you, Dave, so much. We're glad Sarah lets you clean out the cupboards. Bring them over here.
We talked about stuff over the other day.
Yeah, here you
are. In your bulletin, you did receive this little flyer in there. That's for the day camp that's coming to Harbor of Joy in August 8th through the 11th. And Dina Strutt and Sarah Reef are co-directors that will be putting that together. So they just kind of want you to save the date. Keep that in mind, be praying about it. Look for kids in your neighborhood, or if you have any coming that's got some kids that will be a part of day camp, they sure are welcome to do so. And we just want you to know that ahead of time. It's called the Anchored in Hope Day Camp. You know, kind of fits right in with Harbor of Joy, doesn't it? Anchored in God's Word. You're going to anchor it into this hole. And also want to hear from Carol Banta. Carol, are you here?
Good morning. You already covered the women's luncheon. I think we have 15 signed up. So if you're interested in going, if you could sign up today so we can make our reservations.
And we hope there's less women than that.
And also in the bulletin, I just want to remind you about the women's study on anxiety that starts with June 7th. It's a 3-week study on anxiety and just how the Lord can help us through that. The books are $10 if you want to have the books. And Karen asked me to mention the Bible Conference Women's Luncheon on August 3rd at Arrowwood in association with the Bible Conference that week. Tickets are $30. There's a non-closed table. We've already filled one table from Love and Joy, but we have a few more people that are interested in going. So if you're interested, you can bring a friend and get a hold of Karen. She needs the money by keep from the day you need it. And also, she mentioned that if you'd like to sign up to be a reader or to register for that. Thank you
very much. There's other things in your bulletin. Please read them, because I'm not going to mention that. But we just want to see who's going to read the bulletin. We do it every week, you know. But let's have a word of prayer before we go any further here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that has come through the church doors today. Thank you, Lord, for those that we see regularly. We thank you for those that are new here today. We thank you for just bringing us together where we can focus on things that will last for eternity. And that you are here with us. Your presence is more. We're just so thankful that you are here with us this morning as well, Lord. And you use the music. You use, most of all, Lord, just people in sharing hearts and touching lives, even if it's a smile, if it's a handshake, if it's a conversation, or someone just says, you know, is there anything that I can pray for you? Do you have something I can pray about for you this coming week or today or even before you leave today? That would be also very important. Lord, thank you for loving us and caring about us. Thank you for answering prayers for us as we prayed for Trey and for Patty as they left. And now they're back. And we'll hear a little bit from them here this morning. We're so thank you, Lord, for Godly, who is here with us. First time in the United States. And I'm sure it's really a lot colder here than it is where she lives on the equator in Tanzania. We're so thankful for her, and may you bless her as well as those that are praying for her in her time being here in America. Thank you for those that walk many miles and take much time just to come to learn a trade, if it's sewing or if it's building furniture. Lord, may you help each of those students with each step that they take to the area, to the place where they learn these trades, that they would just thank you and praise you. And you'd use them in their lifetime in ways that they don't even know today. But we are grateful for what you are doing there in that part of the world as in so many other places. So be with us now this morning, Lord, as we focus on you. May we open our hearts and our ears to hear and to allow you to do a work in our lives that only you can do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. As far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father pities his children, or his father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
have a seat. And if you are able to, you can stand. If you can't, that's fine. Just want to set before us God's word this morning. Remind us what we're focusing on here this morning. It comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Acts 9, 10 through 19. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias." That's you. He's going to come and place his hands on you, Saul, to restore your sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done for your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." "Everybody like me," Ananias would be thinking. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Heavenly Father, these are your words. They are a true account of this man known as Saul, whom we better know as the Apostle Paul. And so, Lord, use these words today. Help me to preach your word, where it will fall on good ground in the hearts and lives of those who are here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If there's something I would want you to remember today, it is this. God is always at work in your life. God is always at work in your life. You may not always see it, but we all know that hindsight is 20/20. When you look back in your life, you can see how God has worked in ways that just make you kind of shake your head and grin and sometimes just go like, "Amazing. Never thought it would ever happen to me." So we are following the life of the Saul of Tarsus is his name, and we know a little bit about him from last week. He wasn't a very nice guy, was he? You know, he was a Pharisee. He was kind of a valedictorian of the classes that all Gamaliel had taught. And something happened to Saul when he was on the road going to Damascus with the intentions of arresting Christians, people of the way that they were known at that time. Remember, this is a new belief system. Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection is what the disciples are teaching and preaching. And so this is something completely new to the Jews at this time. And Saul thinks he's doing God a favor by wiping out Christians. He thinks he's doing God's work. And something happens to him on the road to Damascus. And it gives him three days and three nights to think this through, because he saw a bright light. He fell down on the ground and he realized he was blind. He could not see. And he did not eat anything for 3 days or three nights. He was led by the hand to Damascus by someone who he's never ever had to, no one ever had to hold his hand to lead him before. But it gives him time enough to think. Damascus is about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem. 100 miles. So he's got a lot of time to think before he gets there. What is really amazing, what I find in this account, is this, that God is working ahead of Saul and working in the life of Ananias, who has no idea what's coming his way. These two things are going on. God is in control, even when we don't see him at work. But in our account today, we see how God is at work in the lives of both of these men. So we find that Paul is helpless, which is not, he's not used to being helpless. And he's humble. He's not used to being humble either. He knows he is a strong-willed, proud Pharisee, Jew. And he has no idea what God is doing and what God has in store for him in the future. So the first point today is this: that God uses people in Damascus to help Saul. Who has God used in your life to help you along the way in your Christian walk with the Lord? Who has he used? Grandpa, grandma? Mom? Dad? Aunt? Uncle? Or maybe it's just somebody who's taken you under your wing, under their wing, as you've grown up. And you know that they are very sincere people and they love you. And they made a big impact on your life. And they probably don't even know it. What God does here in Damascus is he uses a man by the name of Ananias. We don't know much about Ananias at all. But he's a disciple of Jesus. And he has been given a vision from God. More likely is the time that he's praying to the Lord, that this vision comes to him. And in that vision, the vision says that Ananias, there's a guy coming to town. And his name is Saul of Tarsus. Now, if you were Ananias, you'd kind of go like, yikes, I don't have nothing to do with that guy. I've heard some reports about him. I'm not good. And yet, Ananias listens to the Lord. And the Lord says to him, go to the home of Judas on Straight Street. So it must be a place in Damascus where he definitely knows the street. He knows where Judas lives, his home, his house. And he says, when you get there, ask for the man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Can you imagine what that would do to Ananias when he heard Saul of Tarsus? He'd probably go, I'll go, but I'm not going to go there. I don't want anything to do with Saul of Tarsus. He's a guy that's coming to town to arrest people like me and like us. We're followers of Jesus. But we don't find that Ananias reacted that way. In the meantime, before Saul even gets to Damascus, we see where God has shown Saul while Saul is praying, because he's a good Pharisee. Pharisees were known for having a prayer life. Not always the best kind of prayer life, because they would have long prayers. They become like a babbling brook. Like one of my confirmation classes in past years said about me. Battling Brook. And you're like, yeah, I guess I do get kind of carried away. But the Pharisees were those that had long prayers. They would go to places and pray where people would notice them. And they would kind of go, yeah. But they really didn't influence people in a good way. But we find that as Saul is praying, being a good Pharisee, that God speaks to him and tells him that there is a man by the name of Ananias that he is going to see. He's never met Ananias before in his life. But he's going to meet this Ananias, and this Ananias is going to be the one that's going to bring his sight back. Saul has never, ever experienced anything like this in his life. To be totally blind. Blind is a bat. And God is going to provide someone to bring his sight back. So he wants Ananias not just to go to the house where Saul will be, but he wants, of all things, he wants Saul to touch him. He wants Ananias to touch Saul. Wow. Place your hands on him. Pray that he will see again. So here's a point that I want you to remember today. It's don't let your human nature get in the way of God. Don't let your human nature get in the way of God. Ananias is reluctant to do what God is asking him to do. And this is where Ananias says, I've heard reports about this guy. He's done great harm to the followers of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And he's coming here with the authority of the chief priests to arrest all who are a lot like me. We are believers in Jesus. He's coming after us. And you want me to go and touch him and to be in his presence and to pray for him? Come on! That's just asking too much. But remember, God never asks us to do what he himself would not do or has done previously. Have there been times in your life where you kind of go like, you know, I probably should go here and see this person, and then you don't do it? And you find out the next day that person dies or has died. And then you go like, man, I knew I should have seen him or her. Or have there been times where you said, I know God wants me to go and do this. Let's just say go visit a nursing home. Or to have a service at a nursing home and you go, I don't want to do that. But you go anyway. And you do it. And when you leave, you go like, man, that was worthwhile. I don't know why I didn't want to do it. But it sure was a worthwhile time. And you leave completely blessed. When you didn't want to do something. So, being honest here today, how many of you have done things that you didn't want to do? Okay, that's good. Trey, by the way, did you want to go to Tampa all the time? Ever since you're just a little grasshopper? You did. God's been working. But we find that many times when God is nudging us to do something, sometimes it could just be a phone call. Sometimes it could just be writing a note. You never know how God's going to use it. But he does. So whenever God commands us to do something or encourages us to do something, our first response is, no, I'm not going to do that. God's first response is, go. Just go. Because you're not going to do it on your own. I'll be there with you to help you. So don't think of excuses when it comes to serving the Lord. But just go and follow him. It will bring you joy that you've never ever had before. So Ananias doesn't really want to get too close to Saul. And yet God convinces Ananias that Saul is going to have a huge change of heart when he meets him. Because Saul, who was the hunter of Christians, he is soon going to become the hunted. And he's going to have to be let down from a wall in a town in a basket. I don't know if that's where we get the term, you're a basket case? I don't know. But he gets let down to get away from people who vowed to kill him. He doesn't know that yet at this time either. But he does say this to Ananias. Saul is my chosen instrument. I am going to use Saul, this man who you don't really want to have anything to do with. He is going to be the one who is going to proclaim Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He is going to speak before kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And he will suffer much for Jesus. So Ananias, he went to the house of Judas. Ananias met Saul face to face. Ananias placed his hands on Saul. And we notice that Ananias, first thing he says to Saul is what? He calls him brother. He doesn't say, you rotten, no good Pharisee. But he calls him brother. Ananias spoke to Saul and said this. I think this is incredible. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, think of that. Saul, who was had murderous threats, he hated people of the way, and here he hears from Ananias, who the Lord previously told him he's going to meet a guy by the name of Ananias. And it's this guy who says, the Lord Jesus, by the way, is the one who appeared to you on the road to Damascus. He even spoke to you. And he sent me now, Ananias, that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Ananias does pray for Saul. Lays his hands on him, prays for him. And something very miraculous takes place. We don't know really. It says that the scales fell from his eyes. We're not sure what those scales are. It just meant that he went from being totally blind to someone who could see. It sounds like amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. And so Saul can see again. What do you think that was like? And you realize, okay, I can see it. I got 20/20 vision. All of a sudden, I noticed light for 3 days to not see at all. And so he had a completely change of thinking. His theology changed completely in those 3 days coming to Damascus. And it says here that he stayed with the disciples for several days after this takes place. But he was hungry because he ate. He had lupus. Maybe it was lupus. But he ate, he regained his strength. He also was baptized. Pretty amazing. For the first time in Saul's life, he listened to the disciples of the way. The way is a name that they gave to the early believers of Jesus, the Christians. They were known as people of the way. He And his life changed dramatically. Now, you're probably here today and you go like, well, I've never had anything so dramatic in my life or anything drastic, a big change in my life. And that's okay, because God deals with each one of us differently. You each have a story that you could share of how God has worked along the way in your life. And there might be some here today that go like, you know, well, I don't have really much to say as a testimony. It's like, I just have always known the Lord. I've been close to God my whole life. And you know, I think that's the best testimony than one who ran off and did all kinds of sin and drugs, sex, and all those kinds of things. You didn't have to do that. God saved you from a lot of that kind of garbage. And so your testimony is better than anyone who is dropped off into the gutter. If you said, well, I always have known the Lord, I've always wanted to serve Him, I've always been following Him. Because I've been weak, but He's been strong. We know that Saul receives a name change. He's going to be called Paul along the way. We find that Saul becomes Paul, and then he writes at least 13 of the New Testament books. Imagine that. So these 13 of the New Testament books that he wrote. He went on 3 different missionary journeys to the Gentiles, shipwrecked. He'd been flogged. He's been through a lot of stuff, all because he believes in Jesus Christ. So I just want to ask Patty and Trey to come up here. Now, they went on a missionary trip way to Tanzania, Africa. I'm going to get you a microphone. You want to talk first?
So way back in the day when we were over at Cycle Country, Harbor of Joy, this cute little Trey Robinson came to join us. And after I talked about going to Tanzania, Africa, he went home and told his mom that someday he was going to go with me. And probably about 8 years later, he finally went with me. And besides Trey and I, it was Judy Balin from Spirit Lake, and then also her granddaughter, Grace Balin Daytrost from the Iowa City area. So it was an excellent team that went. So we'll start then. Okay.
So I'm going to start off by thanking God for this journey that He brought me into. And it was a wonderful experience. And so we thank God for that and what He has done to change our lives. And
is it better than hockey?
Yeah. So the question is, what has God done in your life that changed your life forever? And that is my part of the story. And it was a wonderful experience. We did a lot of things with the kids. And that was my favorite part of the journey. And hanging out with Lawrence. He's funny and a prankster. And yeah.
So Next Life Foundation is a Christian vocational training center in the village of Mbuguni, which is only 20% Christian, majority are Muslim. And we have about 4 Muslim students right now. And they have what they call morning glory and evening glory every day. And all 4 Muslim students stayed. They had the opportunity to go home or come late, but they all were there. And it's just a time to pray and sing and thank God for their safe journey. We have one student that has a 4-hour walk to class every day to get home again. She says she runs most of the way so that she doesn't have to leave home so early. And it's more like a worship time, and it's pretty amazing. I have some video of their singing and stuff. And we would be put to shame. I told God, Lynn, that our services are kind of boring because we don't dance.
So the moral of the story is be grateful of what you have, because a lot of people in Africa don't have what we have here. So, yeah. Thank you.
What did you eat? Because you are a teenager, you like to eat.
And he was picky.
And he was picky.
Before he left.
Okay. Picky before he left. So what did you eat when you were over there that was new to you, Trey?
Everything. And goat roast, and I had lamb. And they had a really good roast there, too. And what else? The goat. And the fish.
So you ate the goat's tongue?
No.
You still picky.
I had the hoof, though.
You had the hoof?
Yeah,
the hoof. Wow. I don't think I'd eat that. But just thank them for those of you that prayed for them, that they returned wonderfully as well. And it's a blessing to have godly. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Something like that's close enough. Godly. Okay. Thank you so much. I encourage you just to kind of grab them if you can and talk to them this morning if you got questions, both Patty and with Trey. And then something I'll always remember as well. You're invited to stay for refreshments as well, following the service today that Robbie served in the fellowship hall. Well, let us just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a man that we looked at here the last couple of weeks that did not know who you were, but who came to believe in you because of his trip to Damascus, that he did not expect what was going to happen to him. And typically, Lord, anytime we go on a mission trip, we never know what is going to happen. But we do know that we are serving you, we go for you, and that you are at work in our lives every day, shaping us and molding us to be like Jesus and to be Jesus for someone else. And we cannot do that in our own strength. That has to come through your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you for Saul. We thank you, Lord, for Patty, and we thank you for Trey. And thank you for many others we can name that are here today that you have changed hearts. You are willing to change hearts even this morning. If there is someone, anyone, a him, a her, that knows that he or she needs Jesus Christ in his or her life. We've received many open house invitations for graduates this year. And those who graduate, many of them really don't know what they were going to do in life. Some do, and some change their whole directions. They thought they were going to do one thing and end up doing something else. But one of the things I always write in the cards is I continue to follow and to serve Jesus Christ, because you'll never be disappointed. And I truly believe that. Because even your word says this, Lord, that whoever believes and follows Jesus will not be disappointed. Our faith that you give to us is incredible. So may we pray the prayer today that you taught your disciples to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. It's okay if you can't stand, just remain seated. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May be seated, receive the benediction. It comes as a verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Amen.
On May 12th, 1861, soon after the Civil War had begun, the strains of John Brown's body used for the first time at Fort Warren, near Boston. It's adapted by C.S. Hall from the three-year-old Methodist hymn called Say, Brothers, Will You Meet Us? The words of the new version referred not to the Harper's Ferry Raider, but to Sergeant John Brown, then stationed at the fort. The song became so popular among Northern soldiers that opposition developed by so common a lyric being affixed to be exalted in this melody. In 1862, a year later, Julia Ward Howe was persuaded to write the inspirational words we know as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It is recorded that this hymn was sung at a large patriotic rally attended by President Lincoln. After the singer had finished, the audience responded with tumultuous applause. The president, with tears in his eyes, cried out, "Sing it again!" And it was sung again. It soon became accepted as one of our finest national hymns, finding its way into almost every American hymnal. Its original purpose of serving as a battle song for the Northern Republic during the Civil War was soon forgotten. Would you please stand?